Hi, welcome to Jersey Mike's.
So how do shore points work?
As you can see, 6 regular number 13s plus 3 giant 7s equals a free regular number 13. But now, 8 number 13s, each plus a Pepsi and a Lay's, will also equal a free regular number 13. Or it could equal a regular free number 17 if you want.
Uh-huh, okay.
So Pepsi and Lay's now earn you more points towards free subs. It's simple math, really.
That adds up.
Exactly. Download the Jersey Mike's app and earn rewards toward free subs with every Pepsi, Lay's, and sub you purchase.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and this is the voice of the Christian resistance. Still on, folks. We're still here. And tonight we have producing the program flawlessly, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And with a flutter and a stutter, she kind of floats around, well, the studio here, none other than Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
And way out yonder, still here with us. Maybe he's old, but he's not cold. He's still very bold, none other than Pastor Joe Larson.
Yes, that Bible-believing, God-fearing, flag-waving, Constitution-loving, gun-owning patriot. I'm here ready to go to work.
Sure, that sure beats being a Democrat, don't it?
It sure beats being a Democrat.
All righty, we have a whole lot to cover tonight. So we need to really get right at it right away. And let's start with... You know, I'm wondering, Joe, if we might just start with go right to the Matthew instead of going through Leviticus tonight.
Oh, okay.
Because in Leviticus, you know, the reason we were doing this, I did this in my message in my sermon, is to show folks how many laws that God had. I mean, God had a lot of laws, and the whole point, all of these laws that He was very specific about, you didn't violate. You did it exactly the way God told you to do it, or you wish you had. And the reason for that was to teach men, one, just how far away they were from meeting God's standards, how unable they were to even come close to meeting God's standards, and to teach them why they needed a Savior, someone that could fulfill that law when they couldn't. And that was the purpose. So here, the title of the message, Joe, was Hypocrites Then and Now. And so why don't we just start in Matthew 23 tonight?
All right.
Okay, so in Matthew 23, here, I'll tell you what, why don't you read verses 1 through 12?
All right, here we go. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, Scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the utmost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ.
Alrighty, here, you were supposed to go through 12.
Oh, I'm sorry. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted.
Okay, so you had here the Lord had just been questioned by three different groups of people. If he had gone, actually four different groups, if he had gone back to 22, starting with verse 15, we read this, and this is dealing with the taxes. And so you had the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were, the word Pharisee means separated one. And they were the judicial of that day. They were the lawyers and judges. And today, the word Pharisee is synonymous with hypocrite. And, you know, like, you know, people refer to those, you Pharisee, you. And here, if we go back to verse 15 and 22, it says, the Pharisees took counsel how they might entangle him. And they set out unto him with their disciples, with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Well, here the Pharisees were the judicial. The scribes, they were those that kept the legal records. They advised in legal councils. I think today we call them paralegals, don't we?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. That would be a good term.
And then you had, again, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were the judicial. Now, here, the Herodians were half-breed Jews, but they were also the legislators. And normally the Pharisees and the Herodians were at odds with each other for stealing from the people. That's basically what they were doing. Kind of like today, huh?
So you said the Herodians would be like the local leaders?
They would be the legislators. They would be like our Congress.
Okay. I like the Congress. All right. Yeah.
So here they had come together. There you saw them working together. And the idea is they were going to try to catch Jesus in a way and entangle him. And the idea, they asked him, is it lawful to pay tithes to Caesar? And what do you think the reason was?
They were trying to trip him up, trying to trap him.
Well, if he was to say, yes, it is, then who did Caesar claim to be?
God.
So then that would have been violating the first commandment, huh?
Right. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Therefore, they could have stoned him for doing that.
Right.
On the other hand, had he said, no, you should not pay taxes to Caesar.
Then he's being a rebel and violating Roman law.
It's called insurrection, huh?
Insurrection.
And so he could have been crucified for that, right?
Right.
And so the idea is they were supposed to put him in a position where he couldn't give a right answer, and they thought that they were pretty smart, weren't they?
They thought they were extremely smart.
But, you know, they showed up to have combat with him, and they didn't really have the weapons to do it, did they?
They were engaging. You never engage in a battle of wits with an unarmed person.
Right. Now here, It says, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt you me? Hypocrites. Now, show, and that word, by the way, that word hypocrite means play actors. It means play actor.
Right.
In fact, there's still places, even out there, I believe in Missouri, out there where you're at, where they have those old theaters. Okay. Here it was called the Hippodrome, where they actually still had, where they, you know, they're museums now. Some of them were still active, but they actually had on their marquee performing hypocrites.
Right.
Okay. You know, that should be really there at Congress and in the mainstream media, huh?
They should
have that posted out there. Now, but Jesus perceived...
For more reasons than one.
But Jesus...
Actors, but...
but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny, or a denarii. And he said unto them, whose image and superscription? And they said, well, it's Caesar's. Okay, now listen carefully. Now, who's he talking to?
Right now, the Pharisees.
The Pharisees and the...
The Herodians.
Now, who?
The scribes.
They were who? The lawmakers, weren't they?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did they know the law, the Pharisees?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so now, here's what Jesus said. Pay close attention to what he says. Now, according to the law, they were the lawmakers, so he's talking to them according to the law. Render, therefore, unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him, and they went their way. Okay. They didn't argue why.
They didn't know how to handle that. There was no comeback.
According to the law, what belongs to God?
Everything.
It says three places, the earth and the fullness thereof, huh?
Thereof, right.
So is Caesar on the earth?
Yes.
Okay, so then if Caesar's on the earth, if he's a part of the earth, then he belongs to God too, huh?
Exactly.
So if everything, the Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof, does that include everything?
Everything.
Well then, so if everything belongs to God, and God has everything, what does that leave?
Not much.
Okay, and so...
It really doesn't leave much.
So he's telling them, okay, according to the law, render to God. So they understood what he was saying. Do you think most of the preachers today out there preaching understand this passage of Scripture?
No, they don't.
They're clueless, aren't they?
I've heard this different times in my life in different places, and, you know, well, Caesar was the ruler here, and you give him this, and you give him the loyalty and the honor deserving of his station, and God, you know, and they tried to divide it up when, like you said, the earth and the fullness thereof all belong to God. His is the heaven and the earth, and what all things were created by him and for him, all things.
In order for you to actually own something, I'm not talking about taking possession, having possession. There's a difference between having possession and owning something, okay?
Right.
But in order for you to actually own something, then you have to be able to take that with you when you leave this world, huh?
Yeah, if it's truly yours, and yet we can take nothing with us when we go.
So,
because nothing really is ours.
So we don't really own anything, okay?
No.
And so what about our salvation?
Yeah, that's even in God's hands. We don't own it either. It's a gift.
It's kept for us in heaven, isn't it?
Right. And it's a gift. We don't own it. It was given.
So we don't have possession of it, do we?
No.
Well, we actually have possession, but it's kept in heaven.
When we get to heaven, get to our glorified bodies, we've got a down payment on it. But
okay. So let's go back here. Now then Jesus spake unto the multitudes of his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid observe you, that observe and do, but do not you after their works. What's he telling them?
Well, they're teaching, they teach some of the things, but by their works, they leading, showing something different.
Okay, the Pharisees had over 600 laws or statutes, okay?
Or added on top of what God told them.
Yeah.
And they couldn't live up to the ones God said, let alone the 600 that were added to it.
So what did they do when they taught and when they give this, did they give the same priority to their own laws like some religious leaders do today? Some denominations, what they call some churches, have what they call church doctrine or church law, which is in contrast to the Bible. So with these,
call that dogma.
Yeah.
Right.
And so now with them today, with the Sadducees and the Herodians in that day, what they were doing here is they were actually placing more priority or significance on their own laws than they were God's.
God's, uh-huh.
And so he says, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on a man's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their little fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. Now, let's ask here for a minute. Just stop, think. Does Congress make laws and they lay upon people that they do not apply, that they exempt themselves from?
Exactly. That's a perfect example. They make all kinds of things, but they're exempt.
What about...
They have their own health care system, but they force us onto Social Security, onto Obama's whatever it was system, but they have a special one for themselves.
Okay, so Defense Secretary Austin just ordered 60,000 soldiers to be thrown out of the military. And so because they refused to exempt them from the kill shots.
Right.
Did Secretary
was exempt from, and the Congress was exempt from.
So he exempted himself.
Right.
He exempted himself, but he 60,000 soldiers. What about the White House staff?
They were exempt.
What about CDC staff?
They were exempt. NIH was exempt.
What about Pfizer on their own website?
They said their people were exempt.
So we call that hypocrisy, don't we?
We sure do.
Okay, so now he goes on to say, but with all their works they do for to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries and large the borders of their garments. What do you think those phylacteries were?
There were something that was hanging, but basically the bottom line was they were putting on a good dog and pony show, making sure they were in the right place, being seen, praying, wearing the symbolism.
Well, the phylacteries were little boxes, and they contained Old Testament verses. Old Testament verses.
Hanging, right?
And they were supposed to read these things constantly. You had one on your forehead. They would hold one on their forehead, and there would be one on each sleeve. And so there's three little boxes, three little phylacteries. And here they were supposed to study those and live those scripture verses there. But let me ask you, where did they put the priority? Was the priority in studying and living those Bible verses, or was the priority of being seen of men up there with those?
Being seen of men, putting on a show.
So it was
very good at showmanship.
It was a status type of thing, wasn't it?
Right.
Okay, so then they go on to say here, he goes on, and love the uppermost rooms of feasts and chief seats in the synagogues and greeting in the markets, and to be called rabbi. Now,
Master.
So... Okay, so master and
great one, yeah.
Well, it kind of means teacher, doesn't it? I mean, that the word rabbi
teacher,
actually.
But I also have seen where it was a Hebrew word could mean great one or teacher.
Right.
And so. Also called, Jesus was called the rabbi, but he was literally master. So it's got three meanings.
Okay, so today when we see, messianic Christians, when we see messianic Jews or those that refer to themselves as Christians, what do their pastors refer to themselves as?
I don't know.
They refer to themselves as rabbi. They call themselves rabbi.
They're still calling rabbi. Okay.
Okay. And so let me see if I got this right. But be not you called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. Now, here the Lord Jesus is talking to the disciples, right? And the multitude, but he's referring, and he's telling them, don't allow yourself to be called rabbi. And yet we see these today in these messianic churches, they refer to themselves as rabbis.
Well, with the correlation to be the Christian or quote so-called ministers that call themselves reverend, which is a word used once in Scripture, and it's only used for Christ.
Okay, do you know where that's at? It's in the 111th Psalm. It's the 111th Psalm, and in that, what he tells you, holy and reverend is his name.
Right.
And so it's just a name for the Lord Jesus. Here he said, here you go. It's the 111th Psalm, and he says, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever holy. That kind of describes only one person, right?
Right. Holy and
reverend. And reverend is his name. So it's a name for God, huh?
Exactly. So anyone that uses that name is being more than a hypocrite.
Well, people, here's the problem out there is that...
blasphemy, really.
The problem is the vast majority of people out there don't know that. They're clueless, right? So, I mean, does the Bible actually mean what it says?
Exactly, and especially you go on to verse 9. I was a Episcopalian when I was young. I was raised in the Episcopalian church. And I saw this one day, and I asked one of the priests, and call no man father. Well, the Episcopal priests called themselves Father this, Father Joe, Father King, whatever. And I read that and went and asked. It says, for one is your father, which is in heaven. You only have one heavenly father, one spiritual father. And I remember they talked for those two there, the priest and the assistant priest, whatever they call themselves now, the deacon, or he was a, I don't remember. But they must have talked for 20 minutes, and I went away with no idea what they said. But basically, they were explaining why they were called Father when the Bible said, don't do it. And I went away very confused, and kind of that was one of the things that started souring me for a long time in the church. There were several things I ran into, and I went and asked questions. I was given a bunch of, well, out here in the country, we call it Bravo Sierra, Kalmaner, and it made no sense or answers. And I thought, if they can't explain the Word of God, and they've got a Ph.D., and one had a Ph.D. and one had a master's, I thought, you know, maybe it's just a big farce.
Okay, so here now, that word father there, actually means the religious authority, and that in this case he's referring to the ultimate authority, right?
Right.
How do we know that? He says, and call
father.
We know that because Jesus said, and call no man father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. And
in
so
heaven, right.
And so now he's making a very clear point that the distinction that he's referring to, call no man your God. Call no man your God or your ultimate religious authority, okay?
Right.
And so was he referring to, your dad or your father at home?
No, that's your physical father. He's referring to your Father, when Jesus, when you become born again, you are what? Born again in the Spirit.
Well, are there other places in Scripture where the Bible refers to your physical dad?
Right.
Those who be
Abraham or
who begot you. And so then we know here, because the Lord Jesus just had made it very clear that this here in this definition of this word, that this word is a different one. It means what? It means the ultimate authority here, the ultimate authority. If we go back, for example, let's just jump back to where you were, where we started out here in Leviticus 19. Let's go to verse 3, back in Leviticus 13.
Leviticus 19, verse 13, all right. And it says, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither...
No. Leviticus 19, verse 3.
Oh, verse 3. I'm sorry. I thought you said 13. 3. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God.
Okay, so now... So he was referring to here... your physical, the one who begot you, your physical father.
Right.
And now, but when he says fear them, why should you fear your parents?
Well, fear means honor, respect.
Was he talking to adolescents, or was he talking to adult children?
I think he was talking to both.
Well, yeah, he was referring to let every man...
Let every man, an adult.
Yeah, and then later on in different places, like the Apostle Paul, refers to let the children obey your parents, okay? So does King David.
The commandments, honor your father and mother, means all. You all honor your father and mother.
All right, hang tight. We'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away.
The Bannon conviction, if this is treated like an ordinary case, two misdemeanors in the District of Columbia, at most probation. What do you think of this verdict, and what do you think of what's likely to happen to him?
Entirely predictable and entirely in violation of the Constitution. The only provision of the Constitution which appears basically twice is trial by jury, in front of a fair jury. Number one, he didn't have a fair jury. Number two, the judge took his defenses away from him. The judge denied him a jury trial. They wouldn't allow him to put on evidence that he believed that there was an executive privilege involved and he wanted a judicial determination before he violated the executive privilege. That issue could not be presented to the jury. So as I predicted on this show and other shows before, the conviction was a foregone conclusion. The only issue is, will it be reversed by appeal, either by the appellate court in the District of Columbia or by the Supreme Court? I think it's very likely that this conviction will be reversed at some point.
I suppose the political overlay is the obvious. I mean, I always like juries, respect juries. I've tried cases before juries in this community, sure. But this is a community of 94% Democrat.
Well, not only that, but probably 97% Trump haters. And all you had to do is, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this man Bannon worked for Trump. That's the end of the case. And then he wants to put on a defense that he was executive privilege. And the judge says, no, the jury is not going to hear that. So even if there were a fair jury, the judge denied the jury the basic facts. And so the issue in this case has always been a legal one. When Congress holds somebody in contempt and that person invokes privilege, do you get to prosecute or do you have to go to a judge first, get a judicial order, and then if the defendant violates a judicial order, obviously that becomes a crime. That didn't happen here. That didn't happen in the Navarro case. And the Supreme Court's going to have to resolve that issue. And I think it was resolve it in favor of requiring a judicial order before Congress can hold somebody in contempt. That's a major constitutional issue.
All righty, we are back. And, of course, that was Alan Dershowitz, the famous attorney, and he was making a very clear point. Now, before I go any further, Joe, I want to say a couple things. One, folks out there, we did not have a good pledge week. It wasn't a terrible pledge week, but we did not make our goal. And I'm just going to say this because we didn't make our goal again, and it is summertime. There is danger for us having to, and we just, like I told you, we just, really dodged a bullet with going into this month, July 8th. We three stations were set to go off the air, and by God's grace, we got a good influx of money from those stations, and along with some others. But it didn't work that way here with this pledge week, and we got it. We have to have. We got to make the goal. So I'm just going to tell you that we do need to hear from you out there. If you just got our newsletter, and by the way, if you don't get the newsletter, you really should, as the people that get our newsletter can tell you. We send information to you that you won't get anywhere else, like most of what you hear on this radio program. And so it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. So all you have to do is ask for it and give us a very good and clear address, and we will send you that newsletter. And so I wanted to say two things here. We were talking about Joe. Come in about 42 days from right now, they're going to decertify all of the ballots from the 2020 election. They're going to not decertify, they're going to destroy them. They're going to destroy them, okay, Joe?
Right.
Unless we can stop that. Now, right now, hundreds of thousands of postcards are going in to the state legislators in those five swing states. And the folks out there listening, they can do that. They can send postcards by calling, or just going up on the internet, Joe, to decertifyfraud.com. Decertifyfraud.com. Now, we're going to send, this ministry is going to send over 300 postcards out to decertifyfraud.com. It only takes a couple minutes to do that. And so, folks, you really need to do that. Go to decertifyfraud.com up on the internet. It'll tell you what to do from there.
Just in those five swing states or in all states?
Well, it'll go to the five swing states. That's
okay.
And see what happens. If those are the ones that we're very interested in, and if they go ahead and they refuse, and now there's some of them are saying, you know what, we better take a good look at this. We're finding so much evidence of election fraud, so many fraudulent ballots that there are a couple that, like in Wisconsin now, another state legislator says, you know, we really need to decertify this. Decertify this election. It's obvious that what is shown right there in 2,000 mules. And by the way, we have 2,000 mules out there, folks. And we were asking a donation, I believe, of $60, and we would send you that DVD. Plus, for a donation of $75, we're asking. We would also add a mystery gift. We have a lot of them. We have a lot of, you know, these are DVDs and CDs. And I think what we're asking, what, $25 for our CDs, the songs you hear on this radio program. And if you want one of those, you would specify with a gift of 75 or more, say, give me 2,000 mules and the songs that you play. We have three CDs with different songs, and a fourth one's in the process of being put together right now. All right.
Can I add to that what you were saying? South Carolina, we mentioned it earlier in the month that they went bipartisan to adopt an election integrity plan, and it was the Republicans and Democrats came together and came up with a plan that they're calling should be the model for the whole nation, and it makes it easier to vote, harder to cheat, makes elections secure, and people are very, very happy, and it was because in part of what they found wrong in South Carolina, and they found that 4 out of 5 voters thought it was a good thing, and that includes 92% of Republicans and 60% of Democrats. So there is hope, and there are some changes being made as we speak. Good news.
All right. Now, going back to the what we just said in the scripture and what Dershowitz said. We're going to be, as we go through this week, we're going to be taking a look at the so many of the similarities between the unlawful trial of our Lord Jesus Christ and what happened with Donald Trump and January 6th people. Folks, now, we are by no means, in any way, shape, or form, placing Donald Trump on the same level of our Lord Jesus Christ, but the similarities and the fact that both of them had no defenses, they weren't allowed, the corruption. And this is what's taking place on that January 6th committee. This is the way they do things in communist China. You don't have a voice, you know. There's no defense. This is an unlawful trial. It's a kangaroo court. And that committee should be called the Liars Club. The Liars Club.
It has no constitutional basis either. I was looking into it. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say anything about the Congress can hold a trial, a criminal trial. They can investigate to change laws, to find flaws in programs so that they can adjust legislation. But there is nothing in the Constitution that enables them to have a criminal trial. That is not there. It's kind of like you say in Scripture, blessed are the stupid. You're not going to find that in the Bible, and you're not going to find that this January 6th is legal according to the Constitution.
Right. Well, here's why these things are happening. It's an article here by Jim Hoft. Godless party, Joe Biden and the Democrats spend millions in unconstitutional program to push atheism in foreign countries. And, of course, they're pushing it harder here than any place else. Several House Republicans are demanding answers from the Biden regime regarding a grant program that Republicans say will promote atheism worldwide. Republican Study Committee Chairman Jim Banks of Indiana led the letter with 14 of his GOP colleagues to alleged President Biden and the Secretary State Anthony Blinken regarding the Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor grant program promoting atheism and humanism. The notice of funding opportunity was officially titled DRL-FY20. IRF, promoting the defending religious freedom inclusive of atheist, humanist, non-preaching, non-affiliated individuals. And that's why it's called DRL-FY20-IRF, okay? Banks and the Republicans wrote, these people are satanic. They're satanic as all. Get out. This comes right from hell itself. This comes right from hell. From Hellions.
Yeah.
It announced a competitive process that would grant $500,000 to organizations committed to practicing the spread of atheism and humanism, namely in South and Central Asia and in the Middle East and North Africa. They don't need it here. They've got NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, half of Fox, and the entire Democratic Communist Collective here, huh?
Well, they've been teaching secular humanism for the past, 70 years or more?
Yep.
So, I mean, it's totally embedded. But think about it. These are the same people. The Republicans had put a bill forward, an amendment that would ban the Biden administration and the Department of Energy from selling our oil in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to Communist China. Well, Wednesday, last week, there were 219 Democrats voted to block the bill from going forward. They didn't want, we're going to allow the government to keep selling as much of the oil out of our strategic reserve as the Biden administration wants to. Now, just think about that. They are selling our emergency reserves for a time of deep crisis, war, or something horrible of, volcanoes, hurricanes, something flooding. And, to me, selling our reserves to our enemy is betrayal. It's treason. And yet, 200, and I think there's only, around 219 Democrats, right?
Yeah.
Now, number two, there was a survey done out there. The Democratic Party has kind of really moved, you know, that fundamental transition Obama wanted. They're saying now that 31% cannot or will not say that the U.S. Constitution is needed. Basically, they're a third of the Democrats are saying our U.S. Constitution is irrelevant. Almost over one in four is not a relevant document. And then you add to that, 23% of the Democrats surveyed didn't know or were unsure.
All right.
Yeah, when you said they're the enemies, yeah, they hate the Constitution. They love our enemies. And then there's one more that goes right along with it. A very large percent of Democrats polled would give the United Nations veto power over the U.S. Supreme Court. So less than a third of the Democrats think favorably of the U.S. Supreme Court, and most of them would rather have the U.N. make a decision for us.
Remember, President Trump wanted to pull us out of the United Nations, which
would have been smart.
And get the United Nations out of America.
Yeah.
Now, let's go to some reality again. We've been telling people for a long time now that the Biden regime, the Biden crime cartel, if you will, has been working hand in hand with the drug cartels. They've been opening doors for the human smugglers. They've been bringing in people, setting up cell groups all across the country. The Biden regime, the Biden crime cartel, basically is owned by China. China brags about this.
Yeah.
They're owned.
I've heard that several times.
They're bought and they're paid for by China. Now, here you've got these people that are doing everything. Austin, of course, Biden, they're doing everything to weaken our military. They're doing everything they can to weaken our military. They're dropping the standards the brightest and the best are being thrown out because it's the brightest and the best that know better than to take the kill shot, right?
Right.
And so,
like selling the oil to China, they're giving everything to our enemies.
Well, they only gave, $85 billion worth of weapons to our enemies in Afghanistan. He gave $85 billion. They have bigger, more weapons now than most countries.
Right.
They do. So that's our enemies that they did. Now, again, we have been telling you here for a while that there's a lot of the chatter that's going on out there, and we're talking about from people that are in the know, and I'm talking about former high-ranking generals in that. They're talking about how that there's a plan by November, before the election, that China will threaten to invade America. We want people to know this. Now, we hope it doesn't happen. We hope that this really doesn't. But this is what's being said. And so it's either going to happen or not. And we're just telling you that you should know this, that China will announce it will invade America. It's set to do that. And then our military, those in charge, will say, we cannot win a war with charge. Our military has been weakened too much. And by the way, China, Joe, there's probably, I think, over 40,000 students who came here on student visa from China and that have just disappeared out there in the population. Nobody knows who they are, where they're at, or what.
Well, like all the gotaways that came across the border, we've been told by the Border Patrol a lot of those are Chinese and Pakistanis and Indians and from all over the world, and so we've got more of them that just come even Chinese come right across the border with that almost a million gotaways. So we have no idea who's in this country and from where.
China has been buying huge parcels of land, of farmland here in America.
China and Bill Gates.
And BlackRock is buying up homes. They're buying up houses.
Right. People's homes.
Right. And so.
And, oh, get this. You think Biden is getting a lot of help. The news story out today, Senator Grassley has confronted Merrick Garland, Christopher Wray, and basically he is accusing, he said, we have FBI whistleblowers are charging the FBI that they closed an investigation of the information on the Hunter Biden laptop. That they leaked to the media the false claim that the evidence was part of an international influence peddling scheme, you know, a Russian disinformation. And he put out a letter today to Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray. The whistleblowers have brought him, that's Senator Grassley, direct evidence of political corruption at the highest levels in the FBI. And he is coming out very strong. And, you know, our FBI, we've been telling people how corrupt it is. So here they are. They're going to, you know, ignore all that information on Hunter Biden's laptop if they can get away with it.
Well, they're doing it because one of the people that was assigned to handle that investigation was an old longtime friend with Hunter Biden involved in some of his dealings.
Mm-hmm.
So the corruption is, you know, the corruption is complete. I mean, it's complete corruption. Merrick Garland is a very, very dirty cop. Very dirty. And again,
he's not only a dirty cop, he's a traitor to the Constitution and country.
And so is Christopher Wray.
Wray, exactly.
And so. So when President Trump was in, he was in the swamp, and he understood this. He was surrounded by vipers, wasn't he?
Definitely viper. Hey, speaking of that, I found something I've been dying to tell. you remember there's a scripture, and hang on, let me turn a page here. My hand's not working well. Here it is. Obadiah. In verse 15 of the book of Obadiah, for the day of the Lord is near upon all of the heathen, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee, thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that means basically if you do evil to Israel, God's going to do it back to you, or you're going to receive it in return. Joe Biden has jumped at an opportunity to have the United States return to a program that promotes hate against Israel and funds it. Bassam Twalwil, a Muslim Arab based in the Middle East, explained to the Gateway Institute that Biden is now giving more U.S. taxpayer money to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees. That's the organization that in school books incites violence against Israel, seeks to erase Middle East democracy, get Israel, wipes it off the map, and all kinds of encourages the Palestinians to stay in refugee camps, not to assimilate, not to find a home, but to stay in the camps by providing them with education, health care, various services. They're getting free stuff. They're doing like they did, tried to do to the black Americans, keep them in the on the plantation only by doing it through government handouts. It's what they're doing with the Palestinians. And Trump had tried to defund a lot of this, and now we're giving huge amounts of money to organizations that were just basically incites violence and seeks to erase Israel off the world map. There you have it, and God is not pleased with that, at least according to what he wrote in Obadiah, right?
Right. And I want to remind...
That'd be big news, but I'll bet the pulpits in America, I bet we hear crickets on this from the pastors. I'll bet this is not talked or preached or mentioned.
Well, You know, we are living in what the Bible calls the day of the time of sorrows, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go, and speaking of the Bible, if we go back to Leviticus chapter 20, Leviticus chapter 20.
All right.
And if we read verses 1 through 5, then I'm going to read an article here. Kentucky judge blocks pro-life laws by claiming when life begins is distinctly a Christian belief. Now, I want to have you read that passage, then I'll read this article, and then we'll make the comparison of this judge and what God says should happen to this judge, what God's word, what God himself has said. And, of course, we know that this judge now is going to whoring. He's going to whoring. And
he's
going
to be over God, he thinks.
Right. And so a Jefferson Circuit Court Judge Mitch Perry, who has made himself out to be a god, but go ahead and read that passage, and then I'll read the article.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off, and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people.
All right, let me read you this article. Activist judges are trying new ways to protect baby killing in post-Roe America. Here he goes on. Roe v. Wade can no longer be used in a court to claim a constitutional right to abortion. But a judge in Kentucky has asserted a new rationale for blocking legal protection for the preborn. And we'll call this judge a whore because we just read it. They've gone a-whoring. Who goes a-whoring? Whores, right?
Right.
On Friday, Jefferson Circuit Court John Mitch Perry granted abortion facilities. These are baby murdering facilities. In the Bluegrass State, a temporary injunction against enforcement of the two pro-life measures, a heartbeat-based abortion ban and a general abortion ban designed not to take effect until Roe v. Wade was overturned, which together effectively prohibit all abortions. Perry claimed there was a substitutional likelihood that the laws violate rights to privacy and self-determination. That's a lie, and that's a lie told by a liar, okay? As well as equal protection and religious freedom under the Kentucky Constitution. That is another lie told by the same liar, and suggests that the trigger law was unconstitutionally vague and unconstitutionally delegation of legislative authority. Well, the state legislator passed that, okay? I'm going to have to stop there because we're coming up to a break, and maybe we'll finish it on the other side. But we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more, folks. We got a whole lot more tonight, so don't go away. Be right back after this with news, with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program,
you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.